That unruffled beat is Clouds Below Your Knees by Texas native Ray Lynch, and that's our way of saying that it's Thursday, 10 p.m., and time for So, What's Your Story? Hi, I'm Warren Holloman, and during the daylight hours, you'll find me running a wellness program for the faculty of MD Anderson Cancer Center, but on Thursday evenings, I team up with Mary Edgerton, Greg Aldell, Hank Rubicek, Nicole Grady, and Alondra Mejia to bring you the only program originating in Houston, devoted entirely to storytelling. And we're right here on listener-sponsored 90.1 KPFT Houston. Helping out tonight, as always, is our amazing intern, Nicole Grady. Nicole is a full-time student who also just happens to have a full-time job and be a mom as well. And we know that's more than full-time. She also is a member of the Honor Society. I'll bring Nicole in here. What's the name of that Honor Society?
Lambda Pi Eta.
Congratulations. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you have any energy left, but somehow you manage to come in here every Thursday night and be our engineer.
Just by grace. That's how it's done.
Well, I don't know what your secret is, but it sure is working, and I want some of it.
Thank you.
The reason Nicole and I do this show is we believe that every day of every life is a story worth telling, and we believe that every good story has the power to infuse our lives with meaning and purpose, potentially leading to other important things, things like happiness and healing. Now, if you are at all perplexed by this equation about how stories create meaning and how that creates happiness and healing, you won't be after my guest storyteller, Dr. Barry Rose, portrays the doctor-patient relationship as oftentimes the most powerful formula for healing. Dr. Rose is an orthopedic surgeon from San Francisco. He's chief of surgery for one of the largest multi-specialty medical groups in California. He's also recently published a book, The Cutting Edge of Compassion, How Physicians, Health Professionals, and Patients Can Build Healing Relationships Based on Trust. Dr. Barry Rose, welcome to So What's Your Story?
Warren, it's great to be here, and it's wonderful to check in and see you again. It's been a year since we've seen each other, and I'm just glad to be able to be on your show and visit with you.
I'm delighted this has happened. I believe we were comparing notes. We think we met 6 years ago.
Yes.
At a writer's conference, and I can say that we both were aspiring writers, and you have actually now published your book. But I have to ask, what took you so long?
Well, I originally wrote the book in third person, so it had a lot of facts. There were some stories.
Yeah.
But a lot of facts. Yeah. And then after the writer's conference we went to, we all critiqued each other's work, and we had writers critique our work.
You critiqued me, I critiqued you.
And it sounded like after that most people wanted the stories instead of the facts and
data.
The third person, the data stuff. And when I went back and reread what I wrote, I almost fell asleep. So I thought, well, I better rewrite this thing.
Well, I've read it. It just came out last month, and it's wonderful. It's really your own personal memoir of being a physician, starting as a child all the way up to the present. It's rare that a doctor reflects on an emotional and sort of a spiritual level like that, and I loved reading it. Thank you for writing that book.
You bet.
And I'll say that in the book you convey many poignant narratives, but you know the one that struck me most, and the one I'd like you to share with our listeners, is the incident that occurred during your fourth year of medical school. And as I recall, you were doing a rotation in cardiovascular surgery. You were trying to figure out what you wanted to do with the rest of your life. And it was at that point you signed up for this rotation with this probably very famous, at least in his own mind, cardiovascular surgeon. And I guess to set up the story, could you just take a moment and tell us a little bit about the reputation and personality of the surgeon?
Well, he was a big-name heart surgeon, and I thought I either wanted to be a cardiothoracic surgeon or a cardiologist at the time. and he was the chief of cardiothoracic surgery, and most people called him Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, because outside of the operating room, he was a very sweet, nice, diplomatic guy. Yeah. Inside the operating room, he was a raving maniac, yeah, and would throw instruments, and he had good technical skills, but he treated everybody in the operating room, staff, students, with anger, abuse, and it was very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Most of the time when you were in the surgery, in surgeries with him.
Just this old school surgeon who thought it was normal to be abusive.
Yeah, the pressure was unbelievable many times.
So, ironically, as life can be, while you were working for this man with this personality, this temperament, something amazing happened, one of the most powerful experiences of your life.
Absolutely.
And I guess with that background in mind, would you tell us your story?
I would be happy to. I learned a lot on that rotation about the incredible power of compassion from, quote, Dr. B. During one particular heart surgery, I was faced with an unforgettable life and death situation. I was assisting Dr. B on a bypass surgery when the patient that we were operating on, as we were getting ready to close the chest, went into cardiac arrest. The chest was nearly closed when it happened, and Dr. B had just scrubbed out and was in the scrub room just outside our operating room. When he was notified, he walked back into the room in a dramatic fashion without donning gloves or gown, and he went straight to the patient to reopen the chest, pulling out the stitches and cutting the sternal wires barehanded, and had me then give the patient open heart massage. Then he scrubbed back in, and he shocked the heart multiple times with small intraoperative shock paddles to try to resume a heartbeat. Nothing worked. After 5 to 10 minutes of this, he looked at me, his inexperienced fourth-year medical student, and told me to scrub out and go tell the family the patient wasn't going to make it. The patient was a mayor of a small local town, and his two sons were deans of different departments at the University of Kansas, which was my alma mater and also the medical school I was attending. Knowing the patient and his family were influential, well-educated people didn't make the task any easier. So I scrubbed out and I began walking down the dimly lit corridor towards the waiting room in my sweat-soaked scrub top. I was literally trembling. My own heart was just about coming out of my chest as I thought about my grave responsibility of what I had to tell this family. I emerged from this dark hallway into the brightly lit waiting room to tell this wonderful family the bad news. As I told them what was happening, their faces drained of color, and they went into a state of shock and disbelief, which resulted in the wife, sons, and myself breaking down into tears. It was one of the most overwhelming moments of my life. I felt totally helpless, and after regaining some composure, I left and re-entered the operating room. As I walked in, Dr. B was scrubbed out and was sitting in the scrub area, and the patient's condition had not changed. Dr. B had placed the patient on something called a balloon pump to help augment blood pressure, but all attempts were failing. He told me the patient wasn't going to make it and scrub back in and close the chest. Dr. B left the room, sat down on a stool, and put his head in his hands in defeat. As I was preparing to close the chest, even though my hands were shaking, I grabbed the wire for the sternum. Before I started to rewire the sternum, the anesthesiologist looked at me and said, "Hey, Dr. B's in the scrub area. Why not shock the heart again?" I figured, what did we have to lose? I shocked the heart one more time with the intraoperative paddles. And miraculously, the heart started beating again. The anesthesiologist and I spent at least a full minute looking at the monitor watching the heartbeat. It was probably the longest minute of my life. When we finally got over the disbelief, I went out to the scrub area and asked Dr. B to please come back into the room. He was in shock as he also watched the monitor. And then he said, "Oh no, it's just the balloon pump. Turn the pump off." We did, and yet the heart continued to beat. He quickly scrubbed back in, and once he re-entered the room again, he instructed me to go out, scrub out, and tell the family that the patient might live now. I had already been faced with sharing the news of this poor man's probable untimely death, and now I was charged with breaking the news, different news, to the family. Again, I walked down that dimly lit corridor into the bright waiting room. When the family saw me through the door, they rushed to me for any news, and this time I was able to give them some hope for survival. The family embraced me tearfully, and together we experienced this roller coaster of emotion. Compassion, sadness, hope, anger, frustration, and the fear of facing the unknown. That difficult month with Dr. B gave me one of the greatest gifts of my training. I learned about compassion and the importance of never giving up, the power of positive energy, and the disruption of negative energy. Those lessons helped me shape my approach with patients in difficult or stressful situations to this day. So much about patient care has to do with coupling knowledge with and approaching patients from a place of compassionate care, love, and positive energy. This approach positively affects the ultimate result, which should be the best possible healing for our patients. When I graduated from medical school, we had our own private graduation ceremony. We were also included in the University of Kansas commencement ceremony for the entire university. That ceremony included walking downhill into the football stadium. Along the way to the stadium, the path was lined with professors in their caps and gowns and doctoral sashes. They greeted graduates, smiling and congratulating them. Halfway to the stadium, I received one of the most memorable honors of my life. Just ahead of me, I saw two different deans on opposite sides of the path break out of the greeting line and approach me. With handshakes and hugs, the two sons of the mayor congratulated me and thanked me for what I did to console them and help to save their father's life. To write about it, even now, brings tears to my eyes and fills me with loving compassion and gratitude. I will never forget that moment, and many others like that, for as long as I live. We can achieve so much simply by being positive, loving, and full of integrity.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
If you're just joining us, this is Warren Holloman, and you're listening to So What's Your Story? I'm here with guest storyteller Dr. Barry Rose on listener-sponsored, corporate-free, 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston. If you're down in Galveston, you can catch us on 89.5 and in Livingston on 90.3. Barry, I love the story. As you said, it has a roller coaster of emotions. So there's scary stuff, there's tension, then there's good news, then you say, well, maybe it's not real, and then it's bad news, and then there's good news again. And you're thrown into all kinds of new challenges for a young man in his 20s. There's conflict. You've got conflict with the surgeon, with the family, the inner conflict that you're feeling. The characters are so interesting. A timid med student, an overconfident surgeon, a worried family, a critically ill patient. And then, of course, there's the surprise ending. And then there's a surprise ending after that is the graduation. There's
right.
Just kind of an extra. It's just from a narrative standpoint, it's a great story. But I'm thinking it's also a good teaching story for all of us, especially for doctors, nurses, patients, and families. And I was wondering, what did you learn from that experience that helped you be a better physician?
Well, I did learn that I didn't want to be a heart surgeon. You know, what I learned was the way you treat others dramatically affects the result.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lose your cool, if you don't come from a place of integrity, everybody else in the room is anxious and uptight, and the patient is going to get the bad end of the deal.
Yeah.
So it's so important to come from a place of care and compassion, control your emotions, and give the patient their best shot and treat everybody else that's on the team with respect, because they're just as important, really, as you are.
Yeah. I know I've often heard you say, and I read in your book, that you can sometimes learn as much from a, I think your wife first said it, you can learn as much from a negative experience as a positive one.
Right, from somebody's, you can learn just as much from somebody's bad behavior as from somebody's good behavior.
And I think you did, so.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Well, thanks. You've shared your experience as a medical student and as a physician. And in a few moments, I'm going to ask you to reveal another reason for your passion about this subject, your experience as a cancer patient. But first, if you'll allow us to switch gears for just a moment, I'm going to bring Nicole back in so she can tell our audience about our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild.
Thanks, Warren. Well, you know, the Guild is one of the most active local storytelling organizations in the United States. The atmosphere is always casual and friendly. It's a place you can come and try out one of your new stories, or you can just enjoy listening to others and get to know other storytellers as well. Now, the Guild meets at the Haven Center, 1805 West Alabama, right here in Montrose.
Thanks, Nicole. And it is, I should add, in a very strategic location. On one side, you've got St. Stephen's Episcopal Church, and on the other side, you've got one of our favorite bars, the Chocolate Bar. And you can eat chocolate and pray you don't gain weight all at the same time. The Houston Storytellers Guild meets the fourth Tuesday night of the month, 7 to 8:30 p.m. If you want to check out the Guild updates, take a look at their website, www.HoustonStorytellers.org. And, by the way, we're online as well. Isn't that right, Nicole?
You are right, Warren. So, guys, check us out on our Facebook page. You can follow us there. You can like us, post us, send pictures. You know, anything you like as long as it's polite. And, you know, also, we do have a brand new Instagram page, so follow us there as well. So make sure you go, check us out, and don't forget to like us on your way out.
Thanks, Nicole. Barry, I was thinking, you're not unlike William Hurt in the award-winning role in the film The Doctor, which was based on a true story about a man who was a doctor, a surgeon, to be more specific, who became a patient, and a patient in great crisis when he was diagnosed with cancer in his neck area. I believe in his, I'll let you tell us.
Vocal cords.
Vocal cords, that's it, vocal cords. Now, you yourself are a cancer patient, and I'm guessing, like William Hurt's character, the experience must have been profound. Tell our listeners about that.
Well, Warren, it was profound. It was, I'm a guy that's never been sick. He's had some surgery for sports injuries. Basically thought I was invincible. And back around Thanksgiving of this last year, noticed that I had an enlarged lymph node in my neck. Turned out that after it was watched and then biopsied once, which showed inflammation, and then watched again for 2 or 3 months, and I finally asked some of my associates to remove it. They went ahead and biopsied it one more time, and it turned out to be a localized cancer in the lymph node. And the treatment was not surgery. It was radical radiation and chemotherapy to my neck.
At the same time.
At the same time. And described by the oncologist as probably the worst treatment for cancer. So I went from being fine, never had any pain or discomfort, to facing something I never thought I'd or dreamed I'd have to. My wife and I, we got diagnosed on a Tuesday. On Friday, we were getting a PET scan where they inject you with some radioactive marker to find out if it's just localized or if it's spread all through your body. And we ended up going to the PET scan, my wife and I together. And before they injected me, they brought in this lead-lined container with this radioactive material they're going to inject to me. And right as they were going to inject it, I looked at my wife and she looked at me, and we absolutely both broke down. I mean, we were in shock as it was. And after that, we both lost it. And then you have to wait an hour, and I had to sit for that hour wondering if I was going to find out that I had a localized thing that was curable, or I was going to have big-time problems that I may not be able to get past. I already knew that I was going to have radical treatment. They were going to have to put a feeding tube in. Luckily, the PET scan only showed uptake in the lymph nodes, so very quickly after that, I started this treatment. I'm telling the story because of the importance of somebody there for you to advocate. My wife doesn't believe a lot in Western medicine. She is really more of a integrative Eastern medicine believer with acupuncture and meditation and herbalists and healers. And so I ended up starting Western treatment, but throughout the process, which was extremely difficult, she was there with me every step of the way. She went to every treatment. She went to me every time I had to get radiation, which was 5 days a week for 7 weeks for 35 treatments to my neck. She was there to make sure I was fed. She found every healer I could imagine to work with me also. I meditated with her. We set up a little altar next to my bed so that I could at least sit and pray. It was something that I'd never even dreamed of experienced yet. There was a comfort from the love and the care that I got and knowing that she was there for me and trying to find any other way for me to get well. The treatment was something I'd never dreamed existed, and a lot of my care was disjointed along the way. There were people that had differing opinions, that did different things, and that was really eye-opening for me as a physician. I knew it existed. I knew we have a disconnect in some of our health care, and this was really something when I could experience it firsthand, and it really made me much more aware of the need for somebody to help you navigate the system when you're not well. A patient navigator, an advocate, your wife, a friend, anyone. And what patients need to do to advocate for themselves. In the end, I found out that with my treatment, probably 90% of the people have to take a break. They can't finish treatment because it's just too hard. And I actually had to completely use my feeding tube for 2.5 weeks that I had placed at the beginning just because I actually couldn't take in nourishment because it was too painful. But I've got through it, and I lost maybe 15 pounds instead of 30 or 40 that some people lose. And in the end, when I looked back at it, the question was, I probably finished in the top 10% of the people that went through the treatment. Now, was it because I was a tough guy? Probably not. Was it because, not that I'm not a tough guy, but was it because that I had this incredible woman, my wife, Rose, advocating for me? Absolutely. And she found a lot of other alternative therapy, a lot of alternative healers that I did go to. And I went to energy healers, I went to acupuncturists, I went to herbalists, nutritionists, and I ended up ahead of the pack. And I got to think that it had to do with staying positive, having the support all through the process from my wife and other health professionals that were at least dedicated, and using alternative treatments too. So that needs to be available for everyone. And I'm now on the bandwagon for patient advocacy and maybe a universal type of training so everybody has the ability to have that kind of care.
For those who are just joining us, you're enjoying guest storyteller Barry Rose, Dr. Barry Rose, on So What's Your Story on 90.1 KPFT Houston. Barry, that story speaks to me on all kinds of levels. I think we all kind of blindly go through life assuming we're always going to be healthy. And knowing you, I mean, you were the paragon of health. You're a guy who I know would run just about every day. You
Yes.
Does something I could not imagine doing. He jumps out of helicopters to go skiing down mountains. And then suddenly you're as sick as a person can be and still be alive. I mean, that must have just, and being a doctor on top of that, taking care of other people, that must have been a total shock.
It was definitely a shock. And I wasn't sick when it started. It was, I was sick from the treatment, which was even wilder.
Yeah. Oh, the illness was not
the illness. The treatment was, I had no symptoms other than feeling a lymph node that wasn't, you know, normal. So it was a wild roller coaster experience, but I'm cancer free. My PET scan's clear and I beat it. And for this disease, it has close to 100% chance for a total cure. And now I'm going to use it to help others.
Wow. That's good news. Very good news. I can't get over the irony of you're a physician. You're in the top 1% of the top 1% of being on the inside of the healthcare system. And yet even you had trouble navigating the system. And then the other irony, your wife, who's not a physician, was the one who really navigated it for you in so many ways. That story has a lot of irony in it and says something about our healthcare system, unfortunately.
Well, it's time for changing things back to the way they should be and improving the situation in our healthcare system. And so it doesn't happen until you start a dialogue and you get patients and physicians working together to make it happen. So it's my way of saying it's time.
Yeah.
And it was aha. And the light went on, and I'm going to follow that as well as I can to try to make some changes.
And the book is The Cutting Edge of Compassion.
Yes.
And the best way to get it is?
You can go to my website, which is drbarryrose.com, or you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble's or almost any of the bookstores.
Well, Barry, I've enjoyed our conversation. I've enjoyed your stories. I'm glad both stories had happy endings. And I'm sure our listeners have enjoyed hearing you as well. Thanks so much for being on the show.
You bet. Thanks, Warren. Thanks for having me.
I want to thank you for joining us tonight. You've shared from your work and your life, from both sides of the treatment equation, as a healer and as a patient. You've spoken about the emotional connections between healers and their patients, and you've shown us that compassion is an essential component of the doctor-patient relationship. Scooter is next with The Inner Side. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And ease into the weekend right. Keep loving a great story, and we'll keep bringing them to you. Be good to each other. Until next week, Nicole, Alondra, Mary, Greg, Hank, and I remind you that it's never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
Join the Woodlands Children's Museum for a fun and educational exploration of Aztec culture. The museum is presenting Chickawa Conroe, Texas Aztec Dance in celebration of National American Indian Heritage Month. Performances begin at 10:45 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. on Tuesday, November 15th at the museum and will feature Aztec and Native dance traditions. The Chickawa Conroe, Texas Aztec Dance Group was created by Alejandro Tapia and Francisco Garcia, and its dancers of all ages practice twice a week in Conroe. This event is included with museum admission. Admission is free for children 1 year old and under. The Woodlands Children's Museum is located at 4775 Panther Creek Drive, Suite 280. To learn more, visit woodlandschildrensmuseum.org or call 5 Panther Creek Drive, Suite 280. To learn more, visit woodlandschildrensmuseum.org or call